Welcome back, STN, to this week's episode.
Okay, hold on a second. Ben, this is our podcast.
I know. We just invited
you. Oh, I'm Ben Barnhold from Whitney High School in Rockland, California.
No, we get it. I know.
Welcome to the pod.
It's our podcast, man. You can't just take it over this way.
Yeah, no.
Oh, I'm not the host of the podcast.
No, you're not the host.
No, man.
Oh, my mistake. I'm sorry.
Here we go. Let's do this. Rose back.
This is good. Okay. I'm Zach Garrett.
I'm Omar Delgado.
Welcome to Say Your Name and Spell It. We got Ben Barnhold here because we don't want to just do an interview segment with him. He's one of our closest friends, and we want to bring him on to help host our podcast today.
Absolutely. All the way from Rockland, California on the West Coast.
I'm very thankful to be here with you guys. I'm really looking forward to it. And this is a real special moment because we've created a real awesome and special friendship amongst the three of us. So 100%. I'm ready to get going.
Yes, for sure. And also, go Dogs.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
But so Ben joins us from Rockland, California, running WCTV 19. He's been teaching for about 23 years, which some would say is older than me, but that's not true. But Ben does an amazing job with his students up there, and he's also on the STN board of directors, and he's been part of STN since 2010, you told me. So that's what, about 12 years? Check the math.
12, 13 years. Yeah.
Well, Ben, we're so excited to have you on the podcast today.
Well, I've been waiting for the invite. So yes, thank you.
Oh no, hold on a second.
Hold on a second. Everybody stand by. Let's pull up the text messages. Yeah. Let me show you the receipts.
We've been trying to do this since October. Well, this guy has 15 million jobs.
I'm not sure how many podcasts this has been. But yes, thank you so much.
He's a dad, he's a teacher, he's a soccer referee, he's a soccer coach, I mean, softball coach. This guy does it all.
Right. And he's probably like an adopted FSU fan. I don't know if he's
No, not adopted. This guy's a true blue. Yes, he's a Deion Sanders.
I don't know the direction you want to take this podcast, but we could talk about the Noles for the next couple hours.
No, we could talk about the Dogs too.
No,
that's okay. We'll transition to the next thing. So I want to debrief on Challenge because that was such a fun experience for us. And so Ben, tell us a little bit about what it was like to do STN Challenge with your team this year.
The challenges are always one of the best contests because it really lets the kids know, look, you can do this and you are better than you think that you are. So you may have doubted what you can do and what you can accomplish, but now they have proof right in front of them that they can get a contest prompt. They can work their way through the prompts. They can overcome any kind of problems they might have, and they can complete something on the deadline. And that is huge heading into any of these other competitions coming up.
Yeah. It's, and for me, it's just when my class becomes a team. Like I saw it, especially this challenge. I had freshmen, sophomores, juniors, seniors all working on different, you know, pieces, and they got together and they became a team. They had each other's backs. They were looking out for each other. You know, the seniors were mentoring the younger guys, you know, giving them encouragement and you know, guidance. It was awesome. It was just, I was glad I was able to, you know, sit back, you know, open the door and let them take this whatever way they took it. But I'm glad it's over, I'm going to be honest.
Well, I would definitely call that period magic for us, especially 100%. For our team, since I'm, you know, new to the school and coming in and trying to really build that team culture. I think this was the first time I was able to see all of my students work together. My broadcast team is spread across three periods. So this is our first time that we were really all together, number one. And then secondly, it was so cool to see them in various contests. I put them in seven of the contest categories, which was very stressful. And I'm starting to lose my hair a little bit, like Ben. But
excuse me, Omar.
All right, thank you. All right, ball joke number one, good. All
right, right.
Let's just check. Get it out of the way, okay?
Yeah, on the bingo card, check that one off.
There you go.
Yeah, we're going to fill the bingo sheet today.
Yeah. Hey, Zach, I'd also add Horror Fest into that too, even though it's not under the challenge umbrella. But to add, that was another one where we got a prompt and you only had a short amount of time and you had an opportunity to really just show what you can create for good or bad, that you can follow through and complete this process.
Yeah, we talked about that last episode with Misha, and it's great. What Josh created there was a great way to start things off and to make sure that people are ready for what's coming up, which is Fall Nationals and then, you know, convention, which we'll talk about at the end of this podcast a little bit.
So before we get into convention, though, I wanted to talk about challenge just for another minute with Ben. So let's back up for a second, and I want you to share with us your experience on how you enter contests, because I think it'd be helpful for other teachers to hear just how other broadcast programs and like what they do to prepare for the contest.
For sure.
And so let's rewind even back before the prompts dropped, even maybe around registration time. Like, what is your game plan with you and your program as you approach challenge?
The process to enter the challenge is unique compared to all the other contests that we do, because it's a timing issue. And so for a lot of the kids who are trying to balance a fall sport or a job, it's like you, I would love to say, okay, listen, you kids right here, clear your schedules this week. This is what you're dialed into and what you're going to do, but it just doesn't work that way. And so it's really looking at logistically who is available at this time, at this point, and who really can do it. And who can make that commitment to each other to say, look, over this time period, this is my number one priority. So I can set other things aside and make this happen. And although you want maybe some of the older kids to do it, really it's just a challenge for those kids who have the time to make the commitment to be able to follow through. And that's the most important.
Well, we talk a lot about division of labor in our program, right? And I think that's probably one of the biggest skill sets that we're teaching, because everybody hates group projects, right? And I tell them life is one big group project.
Absolutely.
So you are learning through this program how to work with people. And you're so right, Ben, because I had some of those same issues where we were trying to figure out, I mean, you know, one's got soccer practice and one has this, and one can only be here this day to help edit and can't be here the rest of the time.
I do things a little differently.
Yeah.
Than you
well,
too.
So we'll right. hear from the master over here in just a second. But I agree with you on that piece, because it's hard to, like, not only get ready for the contest, but just logistically and timing wise, like, get everybody set and on the same page for what we're about to do.
So,
I think, Zach, one more thing. I think that, you know, some teachers listening to this might think, well, you know, you line up your best kids and you get this opportunity and so on and so forth. But sometimes life doesn't work that way. And who you think might be your best kid, when they turn it in, you'll be shocked to be like, wait, we're all 16, 17 years old, right? They're at this level, like, what is best and so forth, you know? And what best might be is just the person who is available, who can make that commitment to each other to give 100%. That's Absolutely. What the best is defined as.
Yeah. What I do is sometime, as soon as STN drops their calendar of events, I have a parent meeting and I sit down, I don't know, September, probably early October, late September, and I tell them, this week, your kids will have no lives, right? And then convention time, kids will have no lives, obviously, because I want full commitment. Now, my school doesn't really work that way, so they, you know, just throw a wrench in my plans. They plan homecoming on the Friday night of challenge.
Ours too.
And what am I going to tell my kids? Don't go to homecoming? Of course I'm not going to tell them that, you know, because at the end of the day, I want them to be students as well. But they know that they're down a day. They're not going to be able to use that Friday night to do anything for challenge or whatever, and it is what it is. But I think what it does for them is they plan more on how to work things out. They make a schedule on when they're looking for an interview, when they're looking for the right story. They want to make sure that it's not going to be anything that requires that Friday night for them to be shooting. And if they have to shoot something, they're going to rely on in our school, they don't allow freshmen or sophomores to go to homecoming. It's only juniors and seniors. So they have to rely on the freshmen or sophomores in their team to go and shoot it, if they have freshmen and sophomores in that team. So it all depends. It's a lot more pre-planning than anything else, but to each their own, man. What I've learned doing this for the last 15 years is that there's many ways to do this job. And Ben does it one way, you do it another way. We're always talking about how things work, and we steal things from each other and we try to implement them. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But that's a beautiful thing about STN, that teachers like us can talk and we'll figure things out. We can Frankenstein it until it works. And then if it doesn't work, well, there's another teacher you can probably talk to and figure something out to make it work with your program.
Well, we've been talking about this almost the entire year about how the power of STN networking comes 100%. In. I mean, I think beyond the contest, that's probably one of the biggest reasons why I continue to join every year. And didn't you all meet through STN?
We met off of then on Facebook, and then I was like, "Dude, just call me, man. I'm not texting this anymore."
That sounds familiar, by the way.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. And then we just started texting each other. I found out he was a Florida State fan. We got along because of that. And then, you know, he's a Mets fan, and I'm a Marlins fan, so he just likes to all summer long just send me text messages making fun of my Marlins.
Right. They're AAA affiliate right now, so they're trying to get
here we go
back to the bigs.
The best part was when the Lakers were playing the Heat in the championship 3 years ago in the bubble, and he was being merciless. Like, he was just killing me every single day. But it started a good friendship in DC. We actually met up right before we had to go back home because of COVID. But we've been good friends ever since.
Actually, Zach, I remember meeting Omar two times in when we were hanging out in Seattle at STN. Number one was that experience of just a kid needed something. I think it was I'm pretty sure it was a 9-volt battery, and we helped each other out and we just started talking. And then the second time was at closing ceremony, and we're sitting because we traditionally like to sit in the front row. And so we're sitting in the front row, and one of Omar's students got an award. And so he heard his name being called, and he's walking across the front right in front of us. But the big screens that they had at STN that year were held up almost on big stands, right?
I remember
that. So the kid spun around to look at Omar because every one of his kids is cheering for him. He spins around to look and put his hands up to cheer and to look at Omar and to celebrate, right? But as he's walking backwards and it's dark, his feet hit the back of the stand that's holding up the monitor, and he dropped.
Yeah,
I mean, in front of 3,000.
I'm not bringing that kid's name up, but I still bring that up to him all the time.
He dropped, and it went from a celebration to like this hush of like, oh my gosh, is he okay? And then he popped back up, jumped up in the air, and ran up on the stage and got his plaque.
And people cheered awesome. For him when he jumped up. They were like, yeah.
Yeah.
That was so much fun.
I think that really embolizes the adelante saying.
Adelante,
right?
Man. Adelante. Move forward, man. Yep. Oh, man. That was good times. Honestly, though, like I remember so many moments. I remember in Nashville hanging out with Karin, just me and her. Like, our kids were competing, and I was just sitting there, and we were talking to each other. And it wasn't anything about STN. It was just about life and friendship. And I felt like, man, there's more people like this out there. And it's changed. It's changed. I think the culture now is so much better. It's still competitive. Like, Zach and I have a little competition going on between who can sign up fastest for contest.
Oh, you brought that up, so I'm not the one bringing
that's
it up.
Fine. That's fine. Yeah, and because I usually I'm very hyper organized, and I like to be just having signed up and getting out of the way, so I don't have to worry about it. And he found out I do this, so he made sure he signed up for convention first, and then rubbed that 001 on over.
I actually set it as a Zoom virtual background when we had an STN meeting once, and it was perfect. And let me just say that really took an extreme amount of concentration. I put my AirPods on, turned noise canceling on, turned some high frequency EDM music.
Yeah, I don't know how you did.
And I had my roster to the right on the screen, and I had the STN dashboard on the left, and I was in, and I was ready. I was like, I will get this one. I will get it. And then
you did it. I can't believe it. And you signed up all your kids.
Signed up all my kids. You cheated, and you just signed up you and Christy.
100%. Yeah, I just wanted to get number one, but you beat me to it.
That's tough. That's real tough. Oh. Anyways.
Wait, that's the strategy that he has? He doesn't sign up all the kids. He just puts himself in.
I put all my kids in, but I knew Zach was doing it. So I was like, I'm just going to get this first. And when I saw the 02, I was like, I can't believe this guy did it.
Bro, my hands were sweating. Like, it was a whole thing. Like, I remember it. It was so fun. Okay, so let's go back to challenge. So you talked a lot about like how this is the moment where your teams kind of really synchronize, yeah. Right? So moving into fall nationals, now we're ready for our final contest of the semester.
So fall nationals is a culmination of all your best work that you've done throughout the semester. It's not really prompted. It's just, hey, here's the topic. You know, what have you done according to this topic? It could be human interest, it could be arts and culture, it could be sports highlights, anything you've done. You've used it for your shows, you've used it for class assignments, and you submit it, and you have professionals give you feedback, which I think is great that they do it in semesters now, because fall nationals feedback, we actually use it in the spring to make all of our stuff better. But it really sets a great foundation, because now we're getting feedback like from Misha and professional judges like that for challenge and also for fall nationals. I mean, if you have that in your hands in the second semester, you could just build off of that.
So, Ben, what's your philosophy on approaching Fall Nationals?
Fall Nationals is a bit of a challenge in that, so number one, it's between August 1st and December 9th. So that content had to air or play somewhere from that time period, right? And then the other part of it is, okay, you know, in our program, the kids create commercials, PSAs, highlight packages, and feature packages, right? Well, then you have to kind of whittle down those into those categories. And if your group of kids, a lot of my kids will put them in folders and then say, okay, this is the one that we feel is our best and we want to submit, right? And then we have to get together during our lunchtime and watch all of them between the multiple classes that I have and determine, okay, these are the two best that we would like to push forward into these contest categories, because it can only be two in a category per school. So that is what becomes the struggle for us, is trying to to take all the stories that we have and just put them in. But I'll be honest with you, and I think Omar would agree, like, we try to submit to every category because you have no idea. So if you're looking at the categories, well, we don't really have a news story. You do. Like, you do. Yeah. You just try. And because no matter what, you're getting that feedback on that story, regardless if you place.
And also, to jump on what he just said, we submit to all categories as much as possible. Sometimes there's a category we have nothing, but since they released the topics so early, my kids are like, oh, I'm going to do that now. I'm going to create that now before the deadline's done. So it gives them something to look forward to. It gives them something to be like, all right, I could work toward this. Again, the Wizard of Oz, Shonda, she released all the categories early this year. And what I did was, I think within the first 3 weeks of school, we just put all the contests up on our board and we had people fill in ideas for stories that they wanted to tell.
That's smart.
And, you know, and then we're like, oh, we eventually have to, and we just check them off slowly, no pressure, you know. We just had kids, all right, you do this, you do that. And they filled them all up. And now the deadline, I think, is in a week or two. I think we have almost all the categories done just because I did it that way. It wasn't really stressful. Now I'm doing what Ben did, is just whittling down what we think was the best to submit. Yeah. That's the hardest part.
Well, and again, so Fall Nationals, just for our new teachers, it's submitting your best work from the semester. And just to be clear, you cannot submit anything that you've submitted previously for an STN contest.
Right.
So if it, like, for example, you made a news story for challenge, you cannot resubmit it for Fall Nationals. Correct. That's an important point. But yeah, like Ben and Omar said, it's a great opportunity to submit almost everything that you've done, anything that's aired. And even if you think, oh, that's not really good enough, submit it.
Yep. Ben, I think, Ben, you and I have talked about this. Like, it's like having kids, you know, you tell your kid, hey, make your bed. But the first time the kid's buddy comes over and is like, hey, your bed's not made, that kid makes his bed all the time. It's when someone else tells your kids, you could tell them, I don't like this. They keep on doing it. But when they get the feedback from someone else, they're like, man, I wish someone should have told me that. And I would be like, yeah, I know, right? I wish someone told you that too. They have to hear it from someone else. That's why sometimes Ben sends me his stuff, or I'll send him my stuff, and he'll be like, hey, can you tell my kids that? And I'll be like, sure. And same thing, vice versa. Because when you hear from someone else, our voices become mute after a while. We're like the Peanuts character, right? Teachers, you know, like all they hear is wah, 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 wah. So it's good to hear from somebody else.
I agree. And I think too, like, sometimes you get feedback and you're, because also, like, the judges don't have all of the context of why that story had an impact in your community, because they don't know your community or why you did that story. So you might get some feedback too. You're like, well, why would they have said that? And you just kind of have to fill in some of those blanks. Well, they didn't know at the time that the news story was about maybe a student who was overcoming a health issue, but they didn't know all the parameters of what that health issue was. So I think there's parts of a grain of salt too, to don't just live and die off what the judge says, but it's a learning tool, right?
Yeah, it just helps you get better.
Well, and I was just talking with my students about this before we left for the break. Getting feedback from anybody, a judge or anybody else, is critical, because not only do you, like you're getting their perspective of it, but you're understanding how your story lands. So what I was telling my students is, you might be so deep in your story, deep in the editing timeline, thinking, okay, this is how the story's going to go. It's going to go this way, and I'm going to put this here and do all this, and you're constructing this big piece. And then if you pull a friend over and say, hey, can you just watch this? They haven't been part of the team. Have them watch the story and see what their reaction is, because sometimes your story will land with people differently.
Yep.
Right. And so, and with our contest situations, that's how we work, right? Like, we are submitting contests to other people that are outside of our programs that will give us feedback. And so you have to understand what other people think about it. And so getting a perspective from a friend or another teacher or whatever that's not in your program, and getting their opinions is huge, because then you can take that in and say, okay, this is how my audience is perceiving my story. And so you take that, and then you go in a direction of, well, do I need to change, or do I like that?
Correct.
Like, it's you take the feedback as a tool, and then you use it to build your story any way you want.
100%.
I agree. And I think one of the things you asked earlier about the challenge and how the challenge went, right? And kind of the process for that. And we talked about how, what are the things in our program, we're really big on, what are the things that cannot be taken away? Okay. So for the challenge, you worked in a small group, you completed it on a deadline, you created a story based on a prompt. Those are all wins, right? And for this same contest, right? So you got your work through the group of students within the program in an advance to the national competition. You can't take that away.
Right.
You competed in a national competition against the top kids in the nation. You can't take that away. So everything that happens beyond the entry point is all icing on the cake, the feedback, potentially placing. But at even after you've entered on December 9th, you have won several times before you even know the results.
Absolutely. And that's what STN helps out with. It builds confidence with your kids and it gives you a purpose.
Well, and it helps provide that external context for your students. They're no longer just doing assignments for you, right? Right. They are involved in something bigger than themselves. And I think that's huge for teachers trying to build programs and trying to figure out what direction they want to take their program in. Doing things like STN and running a show puts a face to your program. Yep. And it gives your program spotlight. And then it, of course, connects you with a network of teachers. And one day you might find yourself in Miami moving from Georgia because one of them convinced you to move down. So
it's we won't say great. Any names there.
Yep. But it's a great experience. So
I'll tell you this. I did this job without being part of STN, and I did it with being part of STN, and it's so much easier when you use STN the right way, because kids don't want to do TV just to get a good grade. They can care less. And a lot of schools, and I've heard this from a lot of teachers, oh, it's a dumping ground. Like, they just put it in my class because, he needed an extra elective or she needed an extra elective. When you use STN, the administration changes their mindset of, we can't use this as a dumping ground. That's in a national award-winning program.
Right, exactly.
And they start giving you quality kids that want to be there, and it just improves your whole way of teaching. But you have to use it. You can't just say, oh, I'm part of STN, so your administration sees you're a part of something. You have to actually actively be a part of it. And a lot of teachers, I've noticed that they think, oh, but this is so much more work. No, it's going to make it less work. But right, you have to use it in the right way, because if you don't, it's just more work for you because you feel like you have to do all this stuff. But if you do it the right way, it runs itself.
Well, I would even argue that it does take a little bit more effort to get started.
Yes.
But it's good effort. It's right. Good work. It's not sitting writing lesson plans and doing all that Absolutely. Nonsense that slows us down. It's doing the work that's important, that matters, mm-hmm. that then puts us in the position to compete and get recognition. And like Ben said, you're getting all these wins anyway. Even yep. if we get an honorable mention on something,
Absolutely.
I say my kids placed in a national contest.
That's it.
You placed in a national contest. Nobody can take that away.
Parents love that. Parents flip out about that.
Parents love that. The administration loves it. And you know what? And the kids get gratification yep. from it. And right there, you're planting the seed for them to come back the next year and say, okay, now I'm going to win.
Yep, absolutely.
Now I'm going to go after it.
And one more thing, Zach, I think too, one of the challenges that I've faced with fall nationals is, well, some of the categories almost seem a little bit blurry to me. So what would define an arts and culture feature? What would define, right? And for years I was like, I don't really know. So does this have some kind of art or culture to it? Well, let's just submit it to that category. Well, Shonda has completely changed that process too, yeah. because there's clear definitions on the website under the tab of fall nationals. And so go through those and really reread them. And then, oh, I'm still not sure. Well, then go watch the 2021 winners exactly. and you can see what fit within that category. And then if you're really not sure, just ask any one of the three of us or put it on the listserv, and one of us will write you back within a few hours.
Absolutely.
Well, and I would say that with the work Shonda's done is incredible. She's really tried to make it really clear for teachers to figure out how to submit in these contests. But here's a fair warning for everybody. Sometimes there will be a contest with a prompt that's really vague.
Yep.
And you might still be confused on what arts and culture is.
Oh, you mean like crossing the divide?
Oh my gosh, that was so difficult.
that was hard.
But you know what? Like, that is, first of all, that is life, right? Yep. Sometimes you're not given clear directions on things. And I think it's a great tool to use with your kids to really challenge them and say, what do you think is
right?
And we had that podcast where we titled it Go Beyond Your First Idea. That was with our interview with Misha. And teaching your students how to skip the low-hanging fruit and how to really dig in and find the details and find that nugget of a story, like, those are skills that are transferable to any career.
Any career. So now that we've talked about challenge and fall nationals, let's take the next big step, the Super Bowl of STN, the thing a lot of the programs look forward to, which is convention. We're going back to Long Beach, and this year's theme is Fearless, which I love it. It's a continuation of the less part. Last year was Limitless. This year's Fearless.
Yes, I'm feeling like a trilogy might happen.
Right? Uh-oh. I think. We'll see. Uh-oh. We'll see. But, I mean, I like to be a journalist, you got to be fearless. Like, you got to go and get stories,
right.
ask tough questions, and do things that you thought you would never do before. But convention is, honestly, I just turned 43, and it's one of the things I look forward to. I know this sounds kind of corny, but I really look forward to it. I get to travel to a new city. I get to be with my kids. I love being with my kids. We bond. There's always a good story. It's always a good experience that comes out of there. Win, lose, or draw, it's always something that makes us better as a program. So why don't you guys tell me a little bit about your experiences with convention?
Well, I want to piggyback on that a little bit because a few minutes ago, Zach asked the question about the challenges and the process of putting that together, right? Well, and it's a balance of, well, what are the kids doing? What are they babysitting that week? Do they have a job? So on, right? With the convention, it is broadcast. It is 24/7 for six consecutive days. There is nothing that's taking them away from this moment and this experience for this 6 days.
Broadcast and film. But I mean, you're right. They are just hyper focused for the 5-6 days that you're there, and the kids do some amazing work in that time period. I've seen stuff that's won at convention, and they've submitted to like regional Emmys, and they get a regional student production awards, and they get nominated for national production awards and win because it's such high quality work. It's great.
And as somebody who's still considered relatively new to STN, you know, our first convention was DC, so we actually didn't go up there at all. But our first real one was the
when you were at Riverside, right?
We were at Riverside. We were doing the virtual convention. And even that experience, right, of doing the Crazy Eights, I think really it boils down to the Crazy Eights. For me, it does, because it's such a cool – it's all hands on deck, right? It's everybody in, everybody building this show. And that's – it's kind of like it mirrors Challenge a little bit, where you're seeing everybody kind of work together to try to get stuff done. It's such a cool experience to see that and watch them bond through the failures and through the technical problems and getting through to the deadline. And I remember last year, I should have worn my bathing suit, because right as we submitted, my kids pushed me in that pool. And it was like, it was such a cool experience being there with them. Like, I really felt like we connected, and like that, like we were ready to take on the world.
And this year, when you're with your new school at Gulliver, watch those kids, when they come back, win, lose, or draw, you're going to see a whole new program develop out of Gulliver. Ben, how about you? What are you looking forward to besides hanging out with me and Zach?
Okay, so part of my process begins in August. And when we start the school year, before the year starts, we have a barbecue and we get the kids together with their parents, and we meet in the theater, and there's food. And I go through a whole slideshow of this is what WCTV 19 broadcast is about throughout the year. And it's a launching point for the convention. And then at that point, the kids will start making very small increment payments that will lead up to the grand total for us to go to Long Beach. And so it's a long process of making these small payments. But throughout the year, like right now, we're getting to the point where we come back after Thanksgiving, we'll meet as a whole group of the kids who are going in the theater. And you almost become a coach, like a head coach of a team, right? And so I'll show them clips of old Michael Phelps interviews, or Kobe Bryant talking about what competing means. And I use a lot of different coaches, from Tim Walton, who's the softball coach at Florida, to another coach at Alabama, and just what their process is for getting kids to believe that they can achieve something that is bigger than themselves. And that is, for me, is the first step, knowing that even though you're going to somewhere new in Long Beach, that you can accomplish something that you didn't think that you can do. And that, to me, is one of the big hurdles, because when you get to the airplane and you're leaving Long Beach, it's usually an emotional release of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we just did that.
Yeah.
It almost reminds me of Ted Lasso. And if you ever watch Ted Lasso on
one of the greatest shows on TV right now,
not to spoil it for people who haven't watched it, but I mean, it's the feeling of believing in yourself, in the team, in the sport or the activity, right? And that's why we do it, right? I mean, we don't do it because we love high school PSAs, commercials, and news packages, right? We do it because of what it teaches our students.
100%.
And those moments that you can't bottle that up and teach it in a classroom, right? You can only have it when you're at a convention or you're going through that timed contest and seeing that experience with your students. It's incredible.
We don't go, though. I have however many students in the program, and not every kid in the program goes to the convention. So we try to create we have different things that we communicate apps with and throughout the program, right? So we create something called WCTV19 Moment. And it's something that we put out on our platform that we communicate with each other, because even though some kids don't go, we want every kid to go, but they might not be there physically, but they're a part of the process and the experience. So we're really big on the moment. What kind of moments? My job as the teacher is, how many moments can I create that will be unforgettable for these group of kids over the 5 or 6 days that they're there?
Yep. Every program is different. So Ben obviously has a payment plan that people pay little by little. It's obviously the more earlier you start preparing for convention, the easier it gets. There's still time because, you know, we're not leaving till March. The way I do it, again, I'm a private school, and a lot of the people that go to Columbus, people have the misconception, it's a private school, it must be a bunch of, you know, rich kids. It's not. A lot of people that come to Columbus, it's middle class, right? So the tuition's like $10,000 a year, which, I mean, it's a lot, but it's not a lot compared to other schools. So parents are paying probably $1,200, $1,500 in tuition per month. If I ask them for another $1,500, $1,600, they're going to tell me, I can't do it. So what I have done since the beginning is I just fundraise all the money. And if you make my STN Nationals team, you get all expenses paid. Now, what do I do to make people qualify? I have a list of requirements that I give to them in August and tell them, these are all the things that you have to do to be eligible to even be on that team, okay? And it makes my kids work their butts off. Like, they literally try to run through a wall to get all this stuff done, which makes the program better, which makes them better, which makes overall experience better. And then sometimes freshmen, they don't meet all the requirements, or a sophomore will meet all the requirements, and I don't take them because they're just not there yet. But just like playing a varsity sport, you might be a really good freshman that can't play varsity yet. You know, you might be playing JV or on the freshman team. That's how I kind of work it in my program. But I use various different fundraisers to get that money raised. And then I use that money to pay for the kids so that there's no excuse. Like, the kid can't be like, oh, I want to go, but I can't because I can't afford it. Or I can't go because a lot of times, and I get a lot of football players that join my program. I get a lot of basketball players. Baseball players and kids that are in track and field are always a problem because it interferes with their sport. Now, listen, taking a week off of sport, we all know that what that means. You might not play the next game. You might get benched for a quarter or two. But if I tell them, hey, you're going and it's free because you did all this work, you'll be surprised how many kids are like, yeah, you know what? I'll take a week off of baseball to go do this. And it helps the program grow. So that's how I do it. Zach, I know your school is a little bit different.
Yeah, so when I came from Riverside, we also had a requirements list inspired by our friends at Christopher Columbus. And it's important, I think, once a program is established, to have a requirements list, because some will treat this as a vacation or an early spring break, or sometimes, like I know for us, this kind of bleeds into our spring break, right? And so, and especially with a flashy trip like going out of state,
right?
You want to make sure your kids know that this is not a vacation. Like, it's going to be fun, but you are going to work. We treat this as a business trip, right? And so having that requirement sort of weeds out the students that are maybe just in it because they enjoy taking the class and they don't really want to take it to the next level, which is fine. Like, everybody enjoys it their own way. And so that's kind of what the requirements help with that. But since I'm new this year, I'm sort of in a recruiting phase. And so everybody that I think could really help us, I'm really recruiting and building our team. So I'm happy to say that we have 16 confirmed.
There you go, man.
In our first year, which is really cool. It's the first time Gulliver is going to be at STN. And we've just set up sort of a payment plan also for the parents. Right. And so we, and like Ben, like you do, we try to spread it out. I think I started payments in November. So it's a little bit higher for payments to be made by then. But if you can do anything by stretching it out, and STN, by the way, will tell you when the next year's convention is at this convention. So during closing ceremonies, they will say the dates for next year's convention is here, and here are the dates. And so you can start from that point, because by that point, you should already know, like, at least your administration office.
Yep.
Well, your administration office should already know who's maybe in your section or who's taking your class next year. Yep. And so that's a great moment to say, okay, the payment plan is going to start maybe June, July, or August, like you said, so you can start planning for that and making the payment spread out more. But we've gotten really creative with hotel rooms and food costs and all this stuff. Like we can share our plans, but like, you know, like we'll send chaperones out to go to Costco and you know, first get there to get snacks, snacks. And so like, there's ways to reduce the expenses to where it's not a huge deal. But if you think about it, like $1,500, even $2,000 per student to take a 5-day trip out to California, that's food, hotel, transportation. You couldn't buy that yourself if you were doing it. So it's a pretty good deal. And I always tell my students it's a once in a lifetime experience.
And what it does for your team is so valuable because you're like if you were asking kids, hey, can you do this next year? Like, oh, I'm busy that night. You tell them, hey, can you do this? It's going to help you get, you know, to SDM convention. Watch how they're like, yeah, I want to do it. I want to do it right now. Of course. So
I agree with you. I think for us, another way that we also cut down the expense too, like you're talking about, is the moment that we land, the first stop that we have before the hotel is always to some kind of a supermarket, usually like could be a Walmart or a Fred Meyer when we were in Washington. But the kids will food shop for that week. And so like Omar said about going to Costco, but they will split that cost with their roommates and they'll have food. So the goal is that they have their food shopping for breakfast and for lunch. And then a lot of us, we have several prepaid dinners that they've already taken care of within that payment that they've made. So they don't need a lot of extra money at that point, especially if they can have breakfast and lunch in their rooms.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I would recommend for any new teachers listening, this definitely feels overwhelming for sure. Last year when I went, it was the first time we traveled to STN. So we have a great travel partner, World Strides.
World Strides, great.
Gwen is amazing. Her name and phone number is on the website, the STN Convention website. And she can actually help you build in some of those meal costs. And she was amazing where even when we were there, I know she probably wouldn't want to advertise a lot of this, but like we added last minute meals because we were like, oh my gosh, like I don't have a meal plan. Can you help me? And she was like, oh yeah, for sure. We can do this. We're going to do this.
Right.
Because she's got a budget that she can set with you ahead of time. And then when the parents pay in, you can sort of build these meals and these trips and into your cost. And so that's really helpful too when you're first starting.
As much as we love and can't say enough about the great things that Sherry and Shonda do to make STN happen for us, our kids, I would say Gwen is equally as important to help us plan the trips.
Absolutely.
Right? And so I don't have the income to have like a personal assistant. Okay.
Right.
But Gwen makes you feel like she is there to serve your kids. Even though she has numerous schools, she is there to serve you and your kids.
Yep.
She plans everything for you. And my favorite part about it is I take in no money. So she sets up a payment plan, gives you a link, you give that link to the kids, and the kids funnel the money to that organization. And then you see your account each week or each month. And you show up in Long Beach, and the first person you see at baggage claim is Gwen, right? You can't beat that kind of customer service. And so some teachers, how about this? Omar asked me when the first time that we went to STN, and it was back in Dallas. For about 4 conventions, I did everything. I booked the flights. I booked all of the stuff that we did on the trip. And then I went to a student leadership conference in Reno. And that was the first time that our activities director introduced me to Gwen and said, hey, she can do all this for you and then help you out. Like she could be your right-hand man. And from that moment on, we've used her ever since, I would say probably about 8 years.
Yep. She's great. She's great.
And really, if you're thinking about, oh, maybe I don't want to use a travel agency, that's a lot, or you spend more money, you actually don't, because the logistics she can book with the transfer shuttles, like you can't even get, Omar and I can't get those deals right now if we're doing it on our own. So I would definitely reach out to Gwen, and you probably should do it now if you haven't already. And even if you've started kind of planning some of your logistics and maybe you have some money you've collected already and you just want to say, you know what, I need some help, let me shift to Gwen, you can actually just send a check to her and she can start building all that for you right away. And it's like I said, I used her last year and it was so comforting to know that I had somebody there in Long Beach that was ready to help my team logistically because we were really focused on our contest.
I'll tell you this also, a lot of new teachers or young programs might be hearing this and being like, this is too overwhelming, I can't do this. Here's my suggestion. Throw yourself in the deep end. If you can go with students, go. If you can't go with students, go by yourself. Talk to your administrator, say, hey, I want to be a program that's known nationally. I think I should go to this by myself, go network, see what it's like, feel the energy, look at the contest, see how kids are doing things, write as many notes. When you get back, share this with your admin and your kids, and you're going to be able to build a program that's nationally known within 3-4 years tops. but it just takes that first step for you to do it. And I suggest all of you do it.
Yeah. I mean, and it can be counted as professional development.
Yep,
so, to use that phrase, you know, with your administration, when you're trying to figure out if you can do this, cause it's, and you know, come hang out with Omar, Ben and I, we'll just be chilling, right? We're not doing anything those few days. We're just hanging out. So
we're not driving kids everywhere.
Right. But to circle back to say like, well, this is overwhelming or it's too much. It does feel that way, but it doesn't have to be that way with the help of any one of us or, again, the help of Gwen to make the planning so much easier.
So what are you looking forward to the most for convention? I'm going to ask both of you, and then I'll answer.
Just the overall experience. No convention is ever the same.
Nope.
So if you went to Long Beach last year, like, well, you know, Long Beach was the same. This year, it's not the same. So all of us, we sit on the convention committee. And then as a board member, I'm working a lot with the college sponsors and giving you an authentic experience to meet these colleges and their representatives. And for me, it's all about again, we talked about this earlier, it's all about the moment. How can we create a special moment, whether it be with the ceremonies, whether it be with meet and greets, whether it be with contests, whether it be with college sponsors? What is going to make this one special? And that, to me, is what I look forward to, is just seeing all of it come together.
For me, this one's, I'm going to tell you in order, right? So I have things I'm looking forward to.
Omar's got a list he just pulled out.
Well, I think about this a lot. I don't know what to tell you, okay? So I was honored to be SDN's Teacher of the Year, and I'm really looking forward to that moment because there's a lot of people I want to thank in front of the whole country. You two are going to be one of them, but we'll save that for later. That's probably number three on the list, number two on the list, and this one usually is number one, but it's the moments, like what Ben said, with my kids. I love creating these special memories, having things. I have kids that are pushing, you know, close to their 30s and still call me and they're like, man, do you remember what we did in Orlando or in Anaheim? And we just have these conversations and we'll start laughing. And it's great to have those moments with those kids because I really bond and it makes CCNN a team. But for me, the most special thing, I'm going to be honest with you, it's because I have such an overbearing personality. My wife started her own TV program in her middle school, and she's going for the first time with her own program. And watching her kids, those 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, and how excited they are and how hard they've been working for everything. And I'm looking at that. It's given me life this year because, you know, I love my boys. Don't get me wrong. I love my program. I love my boys. But we've been doing it for such a long time. That excitement is a little bit, it's been tampered with a little bit, right? But these kids have never experienced this. And it's just to see those kids for the first time and see my wife go over there for the first time. I'm looking forward to that so much because it's now, this has become like a family affair for me. So that, in that order, those are the three things I'm looking forward to.
That's awesome. And you know, what's funny is none of us really said contest, right? It's all about the experience. It's all about the experience. And for me, that's what it is. And I hate to go last because y'all already stole all the good points. But it's really like a family reunion, right? You get to see people that maybe you only get to see once a year, right? Just like my friend Ben here. I get to see him in person and I realize that Ben is like two sizes to me.
He's
like,
big,
he's,
right?
He's tall. Yeah, I didn't realize how tall you were. But it's just it's so fun to like be able to see everybody and to connect with other teachers and just feel the energy. If you stop for a moment, like just pick any day, but maybe even the day that people arrive, which it could be Wednesday or
Thursday.
even Tuesday evening for some of us overachievers. but like stand in one of the hotel lobbies, right, and just be there in the moment with all these schools coming in, and you'll know exactly who they are because they'll all be dressed in whatever color that their school is, and if it's Ben's school, you'll hear the chants.
Oh yeah,
and you'll see the noisemakers, and you'll just see this collection of students that love what they do. You see teachers and chaperones there that are there to support them and everything that they want to accomplish during that convention. And it's that energy is unmatched. And I've taught other subjects than video production, and nothing gives me greater satisfaction than taking students to this experience, experiencing this throughout the entire year, really, but taking them to a convention, watching them work through challenges, become a team, bond with each other, and have those lifelong memories. That's why I do what I do.
Yeah, I think it's again, for me, it's and for all of us there, it's it's about the moments and the memories. And, you know, like you, I was a language arts teacher as well. And you could push on different things about language and things that they need to know and remember. But you don't know if they'll remember it, right?
Right.
Every day of this trip will be something memorable. And we actually, when we're at the convention, before the kids do room checks, we meet all together in a place at the hotel, and we go through, okay, what does tomorrow look like? So each kid knows where they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to do. And then when we get done, we all kind of share together a story and reflect on, well, what happened to you today? Because we may not know what you did either in your contest or what you went and saw around what was around the convention area. So we kind of just reflect and share, what was your experience like today? And we all celebrate those things. And every day is a celebration of moments that I hope will be unforgettable.
Absolutely.
I want to say, I think that was such a cool thing that you did. And my kids saw your team meeting. I think it was right after that last day before we left for the next day. And it was that night you all were watching the contest submissions. I think you were down in like the lower lobby, and it was, and I think some of my kids joined you and just sat there. They just wanted to see and be a part of it, because it's like those are really the times where you can yep. really kind of glue it all together and
grow.
Say, and this is what we did. This is what we accomplished. And maybe with your permission, I might steal that for the title of this podcast, Creating Your STN Moment.
I love it. That's it.
Because it's really that right there is why we do it.
100%.
Right. And in those moments, so multiple times throughout that, as we end each night, there's usually someone who's sharing a story, and someone is, there's just tears of kind of like a release of like, okay, this all has happened and this happening. It's a culmination of many moments throughout the school year. But again, it's that moment that you will never forget. And like Omar said, it could be 5-10 years from now. Those things will always happen, whether they put them on social media and they're getting flashbacks or things that pop up, notifications like, hey, this happened. But they will always text you for many years. Hey, do you remember this? And it's why, like you said, it's why we do this.
Well, I think we could talk about convention all day. But as we close our show, let's go around the table one more time and let's talk about our biggest wins from this semester, because we are already nearing the end. I think we only have about three or so weeks left, and it's going to be wild. So let's hear what we did well this semester.
For us, you know, every year we get a handful of new kids who are new to your program. And my favorite part is you get that kid who looks nervous and looks and will tell you, well, I don't really know what I'm doing, right? Awesome. And by this point right now, we have repeated so many things over and over, whether it's creating our daily show or turning in stories, that you just see this sense of confidence when they walk through the door and this smile and the high five. And we break every class so we get to class. We give a few announcements of like, hey, this is what's coming up for today. And then every kid stands. This is every day. And they all put their hands in and they say, okay, Ohana on three. And we take this idea of Ohana that no one gets left behind and we're a family, right? But each kid in our class has different families. Some come from single parents. Every family is different. And so we define family as forget about me, I love you. And when we support each other, right? And so they say Ohana every day. And by now, they know what that means and they know what it looks like. And those are the wins for us as we get to the end of the semester.
This is the first year that I feel normal, right? Since COVID. COVID, I think, pushed all of us back a lot. But things have been actually really well. My numbers for my program are back up to what they were before COVID. In fact, so much that the thing I'm most, you know, grateful for and proud of this semester is that we had three shows and podcasts, right? But my freshmen and sophomores, they wanted to be involved, but, you know, usually they have to wait their turn. They took the bull by the horns and they created the Crusade, which is our social media show, which was inspired by the Raider Recap. And they're like, well, if the Raiders are doing it, we could do it too. And my juniors and seniors were like, we can't do that, plus CCNLI, plus the Voyage, plus all this other stuff. So the freshmen were like, we'll do it. And they've been doing it. I mean, it's not as consistent, you know, as I want it to be, but for freshmen and sophomores to do that daily social media show, I was really impressed. That's probably one of the things I'm most happy with what the program has created this semester.
Well, hearing both of your ones, I just, it's I'm in awe just being a part of this, right? And as I look back on this semester, it's there's been a lot of change for me. I think there's been some personal wins and also professional. But as I look at my program, I think back to the first day that I walked into the school. It was our very first day of school, and I only met a few of the students prior. But it was, they were all spread across those three periods, and I was like, how am I going to pull them all together as a team?
Right.
And, you know, they didn't really know me or knew what I was about yet. And then fast forward to right before Thanksgiving break, we had all three classes jam-packed in the room, and they were doing producer presentations to basically say why they should be elected to a certain producer position, because we're still building our monthly show teams. And to see them present on why they believe they would be the best leader for that part of the show, and like to see the ownership and to hear the applause after the people presented, and like to see the voting, and then after we announced producers, like these students are ready. Like, I just feel like they've become part of something just bigger than themselves. And I'm excited to be on the ride with them, because it's so cool to see it, because the progression just in one semester. And I can't be more proud of them. So I'm looking forward to what we can accomplish next semester.
Oh, yeah.
I love the question, you know, what have been some of the successes? But I think that for a lot of us, too, there have been struggles and some low points as well. If we're sharing, going around the circle again, I think one of the low points and the realization that I've had this semester is, like Omar talked a minute ago about, you know, post-COVID and what this has done. But for me, this realization of, like, we went through about a 2-year process where it was, hey, you know, how are you feeling? Are you doing okay? Okay. You know, you've missed this large amount of time. Now you're back. And all the things that we went through with COVID, now we're trying to get back to where we were pre-COVID as a program, and that giving critical feedback to kids and really trying to let them know, like, look, you're doing great things, but hey, let's try to work on these 1, 2, 3. And giving that feedback has been a challenge for our program and for the kids to understand, like, I'm not trying to break you down or hurt you personally. I'm just trying to say, look, if you can improve a little bit of natural sound here, build a sequence over this reporter track or in this film, we need to work really on some of our lighting, and understanding that it's not hurtful, but it's trying to be helpful, right, has been a challenge for us. And really changing, like, in the past, before COVID, I could give that feedback and the kids would just know it was ingrained. It was what we did. Right. And now it's like, you have to really soften it to the point of, like, look, I'll send you some things in an email too, so you can read an email and kind of point out some things, to try to give you feedback. That has been a real challenge for us and for me personally, this year.
Yeah, man. I mean, everybody has to go, COVID threw a wrench in a lot of our programs, but
the low point, I think for me, it was more of a personal, I guess, type of struggle when I was right in the beginning of this semester trying to figure out what to start with, right? Because Gulliver already had a program, but they just weren't really competing, and it wasn't organized to a point that they were producing consistent shows. And so for me, for someone who came from a program that I was at for 6 years that I built from scratch, and it was like, I was like, oh yeah, I can do all these things. And then when I started at Gulliver, I was like, what can I do first? Because I really hit the limit of, like, trying to, like, shove in, like, okay, we gotta launch this, right. do this. And there's so much to do, and you can have all, like, there's so many things that you build over time in your programs, like even just that Ohana thing that you do with your students, like, awesome. That you don't just, like, create that one day. Like, you have to sustain, like, that's a culture building piece, right? And right. So just, I think for me, I had to realize that I have to be patient. I can't launch this thing overnight, but I can work at it little by little every day and build a new program that can reach, you know, its full potential with
absolutely
all the students pouring themselves into it and truly owning the program. That's when I think it's really going to be something to be proud of. And I think even right now I'm proud of their success so far, but to be able to know and see where they can reach if they just keep doing it,
little by little,
it's amazing. So,
well, Ben, thanks for joining us. I know it's early in the West Coast over there, but we got you finally on.
We're just starting to get the sun coming up and getting the day started.
Oh yeah, I'm ready for my afternoon with my family. So it's going to be a good day. Thanks for joining us, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks,
thank
Ben.
You.
Thanks, appreciate Ben. We'll see you soon.
Our next episode.
Yes, our next episode is
teach people how to get to convention and how to just raise money for your program to succeed, to get new equipment, to travel, to just overall, you know, run a very well-oiled machine. We're going to talk about different ideas. We're going to bring in some special guests, but that will be our December episode, which will be coming earlier than usual because you only got 3 weeks left of the semester.
Yes, for sure. And it's really important to talk about like, you know, building culture and understanding, like, that's a huge part of your program, because you really can't do anything well if you don't have that piece. But we all know things cost money. So we will be giving you some tools to help you put some funds behind your program so you can achieve greatness.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody, and we will catch you next time.